Matthew didn't see the whole picture. And that's very clear. They didn't see the whole picture. They're like, why are you talking in parables? And Jesus explains to them why he's talking in parables. And we talk together about how he's teaching them and it's not time for them to know everything yet. And they already know why he's talking in parables. But now he hits the nail on the head because he says, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Now he's talking about himself. And Matthew can see now how it was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy that he didn't do anything except in parables. Now Matthew can see how Jesus was actually saying who he is by using parables. Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends. I'm so glad you're with us today to talk about Matthew's portrait of Jesus as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It's such a blessing to be able to see our Savior in that light. If you'd like to hear the rest of the series, you can search Matthew on our website, Study with Friends. You can listen right there online or search us on iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher. That's studywithfriends.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We provide inspiration and encouragement from God's Word in your feed every day. If you have questions, you can post them right there on our Facebook page. We love that. We promise to answer on the Facebook wall or even maybe on air. Let's talk a little bit more about Jesus as the fulfillment. Okay, so let's talk about Matthew 13, 10 to 17, which refers to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. So I will ask, I see Jan going for Isaiah, so I'll have you go for Isaiah. And Maria, why don't you read Matthew 13, 10 to 17.
Got it. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he who will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it.
Okay, and that refers to Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 10. Would you read that, please, Jen?
He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn to be healed.
Okay. So this section, I'm going to just tell you instead of stumping you, I told you there are three sections in this passage. So we'll take our pen and we'll mark them. Okay, I'm going to show you what I was driving at there. So I marked from 11 to 14 is broken up. But from the top, which is verse 10, to right before he starts quoting Isaiah, right? So that's section one. Then the Isaiah quote is section 2, and then verses 16 and 17 is section 3. And here's what I saw. So funny because I wrote this a while ago, and something just happened last night that was a great example of what I wanted to get from this. So his disciples are asking, why do you speak to them in parables? So they're like, why are you being so cryptic? Why don't you just tell them? Okay. And I could say, and more importantly than me, many Bible scholars have said,
there's something about a parable that's memorable in a way that a lecture is not. Mm-hmm. There's something about a story. We remember the story of the seeds that are thrown onto the hard ground. That is vivid. Much more vivid than it would have been if Jesus said, well, some people's hearts are hard and some people's hearts are welcoming. So that's how that works, guys. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so of course, I think it's kind of obvious why he speaks in parables. They're frustrated because they want him to be clear with the people because they want the people to see him for who he is. They believe a prophet, perhaps the Messiah. They believe he's great at the very least. And they want people around him to see how great he is, which I can understand. Listen, both of my daughters have been in performances. When you audition, you know, you have risk of being rejected. So I'm their mom. I want everybody to think they're as great as I think they are, right? I understand the disciples. Why are you talking to them in pair? Why don't you just tell them so they can see how great you are? And of course, Jesus's heart is that they would learn about themselves, not learn about him. His time will come and then it'll be clear who he was. But what did he teach them until that time? Mm-hmm. Which I also understand. But what I wanted to show you is how he answers this question of the disciples. And we'll parallel this with the following quotation on the next page, which is right after this one, which is Matthew 13, 34 and 35. So he did something different in both of these. So that's why I'm breaking this out the way I am. He answers their question. So they ask the question and he answers the question from 10 to the beginning of 14. He says, here's my answer. And it's still kind of cryptic. He says, to you it has been given to know the secrets, but to them it has not been given. So basically what he's saying is I'm teaching them about them. Soon enough, they're going to know about me. You guys are my tribe. You guys are my people. You know a little more than the average person because you're next to me every day. It's not time for them to know yet. So that's what he's saying there. So he says, for the one who has more will be given and he will have an abundance. And one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not hear and hearing they do not. I'm sorry. Seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So he's also saying they're kind of not ready. Mm. You know, they can't handle it. They're not ready. And frankly, there's an underlying message here. The disciples aren't really ready for it either. Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. So, but that's his answer. Then he hits his Isaiah quote, which has the answer embedded in it. Same answer. Some people see and don't see. Some people hear but don't understand. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. They don't get it. So he's giving the same answer, but he's using Isaiah to give that answer. And then he gives the answer a third time. Blessed are your eyes that they see and your ears for they hear. For I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So he's a little bit saying,
hello,
don't worry about what I'm saying to them. Are you getting it? So he has three different pieces of this text. Sort of like three sections, right? Mm-hmm. And what it reminded me of, somehow I must have gotten this when I wrote it, but I really got it last night. Again, how our Heavenly Father is like we are as parents. Mm-hmm. So I won't give away because I like to respect the privacy of my children, but I love one of my kids. I love them both, but one of my kids has a habit. It's just so precious, actually. It's a funny habit. Where we're in our, Greg and I are in bed and the lights are out and she doesn't care. So she comes in, she just has something to say. So she sits on my bed. I mean, I'm knocked out sleeping. She just comes in. I mean, they're older now and I'm like, okay, you should go to bed. I'm going to bed. It's not like when they were three and I made sure they were in bed before I went to bed. They're teenagers now and I'm all about natural consequences. If you stay up late, you're going to be tired tomorrow and I'm not calling you in. You're going to have to take the detention if you're late. So I feel like this is how they learn. That's my parenting style. So that's why we were in bed asleep and she wasn't yet. So having said that, it happens a lot. And because my kids don't learn and they just love to be exhausted, but that's their decision to make. So she comes in and she sits on the bed and she tells me something, which is a little bit of a bombshell. So sleepy as I was, it took me a second to respond. She didn't really care for the response because I was half asleep and I wasn't in my parenting best moment. But she and I are very close. I'm so thankful for the relationship we have. And so she got a little snippy with me, understandable, because she didn't like my answer. And she left. And Greg was like, oh. And I said, yeah, that didn't go so well. So, but I was tired and I was like, whatever. We're close. We're good. She and I are good. This isn't like relationship buster. I mean, she didn't like my answer. I felt a little uncomfortable, but I was like, I'll talk to her tomorrow. She came back in. And she was like, I'm sorry how I handled that. I said, I'm sorry too. And she asked the question again. And I actually did exactly what Jesus did here. I didn't do it on purpose and I didn't do it because I was thinking about this Bible study today. Mm-hmm. I promise you. But it reminded me there's a reason he did this. So I gave her the answer. Then I reminded her of something that had happened in her life where she had learned the lesson that I remembered and was counseling her from. So I gave her that snippet of history, reminded her, and then I gave her my answer again. So she came in and asked me what she should do about a certain thing. I said, well, I don't think you should do that. That was my answer. Then I reminded her why, mm-hmm. based on her history. Mm-hmm. And then I said again, that's why I don't think you should do that. That's exactly what Jesus does here. Mm-hmm. He gave the answer. Then he said, from their shared history, mm-hmm. you know that this is true. So they're asking a question and he gives them the answer, but then he reminds them, actually, they already know the answer. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for this, my daughter who came in and asked me this question, the truth is she already knew the answer how to handle this because she had come upon this kind of situation before. It was just my job to remind her of what she already knew. Mm-hmm. And then say again my answer. I mean, I'm her parent. I'm her mother. If she, God bless her teenager heart, she's still coming to me asking me for advice. I'm going to give it. Mm-hmm. But I also want to teach her how to advise herself. And this is so interesting that this is exactly what Jesus did. He answered the question. Mm-hmm. They were like, why do you speak in parables? And he's like, their hearts are hard. Then he reminds them of Isaiah who said their hearts would be hard. So he's trying to show them, you already know, actually, guys. He's pulling together mm-hmm. what Matthew's doing later. He's bringing these Old Testament passages to their mind to remind them of what they already know. And then he's answering again. So that's why I talk to them in parables. And by the way, you should be glad because your heart is open. Mm-hmm. But I found that very interesting. And I'm sure I'm not the only mom who's done this. Mm-hmm. But I gave her my answer. Then I told her what she already knew, and then I gave her the answer again. So I kind of like bookended, here's what I think, but isn't this also what you think? Do you agree mm-hmm. with me? Mm-hmm. And then when she left the room, she was like, you're right. I do mm-hmm. know this. I already know this. Mm-hmm. I was like, you just have to remember. And it's like what you were saying earlier, mm-hmm. Jan, how we write in our prayer journals, what do we remember?
Right.
Pay attention to what God is doing. Pay attention to what historically we already know about ourselves, about God. And so he's explaining to them why he's speaking in parables. And he's a little bit saying, and you should be thankful that you understand what they don't get. Mm-hmm. You're seeing something they don't see yet. And we're talking about that you got this front row seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't ask me about my business. I'm doing it because it's got to be done, right? Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting. Is there anything that you guys want to...
That's pretty cool.
You do that though, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's my job to be the family historian. Like not just in pictures and scrapbooks, right. but in their experiences.
Right. Right.
It's my job to tie together for them how this experience mm-hmm. looks like something you already experienced. Mm-hmm. What did you learn back there that you can apply here? Right?
Yep.
But Jesus is the great teacher. And if you think about it, that's what he's asking us to do all the time. He's saying, you know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why it looks confusing to someone else. You know better. Mm-hmm. You may think that I'm confusing to the people around you, and I may be confusing to the people around you. What I'm up to might not make any sense to the people around you, but you know what I'm up to. Mm. You know my word. And aren't you lucky that you're not confused like them? Mm. Right? Similar thing. I just thought that that was something that I would share with you guys and try to respect my daughter's privacy because she didn't sign up for this.
I think here he's also saying when they were saying, because their motivation was, you're terrific and they should know you're terrific.
We think maybe that would mm-hmm. be my guess as to why they were asking about the parables.
And Jesus's position, it seems, is I don't need to be elevated by them. I'm not here to be elevated by them.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to teach them.
I'm here to teach them. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. But there's such a wider application here because mm-hmm. basically he's saying, let me do what I'm doing now. Even if it's confusion, mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing. Even when you think I don't, I do. You don't know better than me.
That's right. He's planting mm-hmm. something too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Matthew gets it at the end when it's all said and done. He's like, oh, now I need to write this down because now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, I'm sure, among those asking. So then in the next scripture that Matthew uses as a quote, it's about parables again.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at how this one's different. Okay, so I'm going to read Matthew 13, 34, and 35, if one of you guys will pull up Psalm 78, too. And it says, Matthew 13, verses 34 and 35 say, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And what does Psalm 78:2 say?
I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old.
Yep. So that one's pretty precise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this passage reiterates Matthew 13, the one we just did, in some ways, because here again, it's this rub about the parables.
Mm-hmm.
What is new in this one? What is new in this one? What's the nuanced difference between how he's addressing?
He's talking about mysteries, hidden things.
Mm-hmm. I'll tease it out of you because you already know.
Yeah, I will utter.
You said about the Matthew 13, 10 to 17, the one we just reviewed that has three sections. Jan, you said, well, we all did. We all said his point there was, I have something to teach them. And he's talking a lot about them. That answer to why he was speaking in parables was about the people. This answer
is about when God created the world.
It's about him.
Okay, so him. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the other answer was about what he's doing for them.
Mm.
This one hits it. He's drilling down and he's saying about himself. What he's doing. So here they ask, Matthew comes back to that because he now sees the whole picture, right? In the moment of Matthew 13, 10 to 17, he didn't see the whole picture. And that's very clear. They didn't see the whole picture. They're like, why are you talking in parables? And Jesus explains to them why he's talking in parables. And we talk together about how he's teaching them and it's not time for them to know everything yet. And they already know why he's talking in parables, but now he hits the nail on the head because he says, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Now he's talking about himself. And Matthew can see now how it was a fulfillment of mm-hmm. Old Testament prophecy that he didn't do anything except in parables. Now Matthew can see how Jesus was actually saying who he is by using parables. So I thought that was an interesting parallel, and right next to each other, mm-hmm. right next to each other in the scripture, both in chapter 13. All right, do you guys have more you want to say about Matthew chapter 13? That was full of stuff. That was a lot. Okay, we're coming down the home stretch here. Oh, Lord. Okay. So let's read. I'll read Matthew 21, 1 to 5. And then one of you ladies can read Zechariah 9, 9.
Do you want me to get them?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Jan. So Matthew 21, 1 through 5 says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'"
Zechariah 9, 9. Mm-hmm. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
As much as I don't want to gloss over this, it's so obvious, right? Like, this is a very specific fulfillment of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And so odd. But here again, we see the humility.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't ride in on a chariot. He rode in on a donkey. Super specific. I mean, we think of God as supernatural. Of course, it's not. Doesn't seem odd to us that he would say, "You'll see a donkey and a colt with her, and tell them you're taking it for the..." Like, that's very specific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it fills this Zechariah prophecy. So there's not too much more I wanted to say about that. It's just the specificity of it is sort of the...
I like it. And when Zechariah says, I don't know where that is, "Behold, your king is coming to you."
Mm-hmm. Mm.
"Humble and mounted on a donkey." He's coming to you. You don't have to look for him or chase him or audition or anything, but he's coming to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. I love that you just said that.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, and he instructed them with this command: "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us here at Study with Friends, so we have created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. That's studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you're thinking about, "Oh, I only have a little bit," if you feel moved to give it, we would be grateful to have it, and we will thank you greatly for that. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That is really always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time. We study with friends.